So I'm joined here by Lee Lethalwood just after his victory against Ryan Dill. Lee, you must be pretty chuffed with that performance.
Yes, mate. It was a good night. I said it was going to be a special night. You know, I trained really hard for it. I dedicated myself entirely for the whole camp. I had some hard sparring, some hard sessions. It was really testing my character, but I knew I was going to perform. I did everything I needed to do up until the build-up. So on the night, I just enjoyed myself.
Fair enough. I mean, when you're fighting somebody of the calibre of Ryan Dill, does that focus you even more during the training camp?
Yeah, definitely. When you know you've got someone dangerous in front of you, you get that little bit more nerves, which will really, really sharpen your mind. And it focuses you, especially during the camp, them hard runs, them hard sessions. You know you might need them. So it makes that a little bit easier to get them out.
And in terms of the victory, where's it ranking your career? It must be pretty up there.
Yeah, it's definitely my best win on paper, and I think I boxed my best as well, so it was a double whammy for me. Boxing the best kid, looking the best I've ever looked, and opens a lot of doors for future fights.
Exactly. After the fight, I saw you shed a beer with Ryan Dill. Obviously, a lot of respect there. You know, how important is that to you as a boxer? Boxing has a bit of a reputation sometimes for trash talk or, you know, people going at each other. The casual fans might see Joel Miller laying into Joshua or something, and then they think that's what a sport is like. How is it important for people like you and Doyle to show that there's respect there?
No, I think we're both really good ambassadors for the sport. We showed respect all the way throughout the build to the fight. Respect on the night and respect after. I got a lot of respect for him. He's a really nice lad. And, you know, at the end of the day, it is just a sport, and you don't have to hype things up and trash talk to build a good fight. If you've got two good fighters going at it and putting everything on the line, then you don't need to trash talk or build it up. But you know, I'm glad it panned out how it is. But I give what I get. If I've got someone giving me respect, they get respect back. If I've got someone that wants to trash talk me, then we can go at it as well. I'll just give what I get, and I remain my own character, my own person. But I won't stand there and let someone badmouth me either. So I'll stand my ground. But if someone's giving me respect, I always give it back.
That's fair enough. On that note, in the last couple of days, Deontay Wilder has been talking about how he wants a body on his record in his build-up to his fight of the weekend. What do you make of those sort of comments?
I think he's just doing whatever he can do to get exposure. You know, there's an old saying, there's no such thing as bad publicity, but people will hold him against it and hold him accountable for it if anything did happen, which is not good for the sport. But like I said, he's just getting publicity. He's not stupid. He's doing everything he can do to get talked about, and we're talking about it now, so he's winning.
That's fair enough. Obviously, you know, victory was very impressive with that stoppage. But is there anything you're looking forward to improve on in your next fights?
Yeah, every fight I'm making slight adjustments. I'll have to be really critical to look back on the fight and say, I did this wrong. And I did, and I will, and I have. There's little things I can tidy up, but, you know, when someone's in front of you, you can get away with it in that fight. You're going to get away with it because it's less energy. And in other fights, I know I couldn't get away with things that I did in that fight, but that's when I'd be heightened senses. I'd be a lot more neater, a lot tidier. So, you know, like I said, I box and adjust to what's in front of me. So looking back, I probably am a little bit critical of my performance, of little bits and bobs. But going forward, I know I wouldn't box like that against other styles. So, but yeah, I am still improving. I am still gaining a lot of experience. So that's what I want to keep doing.
In terms of experience, I mean, fighting it in Nottingham Arena, you're obviously in your hometown, that must be a real special moment for you.
Yeah, very, very special. I didn't expect the turnout to be so big. I thought it would build over gradually over my next three or four fights. But what a turnout. And Nottingham Forest as well, they got behind me. I just want it to keep growing now and keep bringing big boxing back to Nottingham. Keep giving all the younger fighters coming through an opportunity to get on a big bill and build their own names as well. So, just buzzing with it, really. Just buzzing. So I'm still on cloud nine.
I can imagine. Obviously, it's difficult to talk about boxing in Nottingham. You spoke about wanting to be a role model there. Well, talking about Karl Froch, you know, how much of an inspiration is he for you, given his achievements in the game? Obviously, a world champion.
Yeah, I couldn't ask for anything more than what Karl Froch has gave me. He's given me a massive icon to look up to, inspiration. He's from the same school as myself, from the same little area, village of Gedlin. Went to the same amateur club, and he's gone on to conquer the world. British Commonwealth world champion, and to do a small percentage of what he was achieved, I'd have done well. You know, Brendan Ingle was my mentor for a long time, up at the Ingle gym. And he said to me, listen, he said, you're going to win British, Commonwealth, European. I hope to God I see it world champion. He's not here with us anymore, but, you know, I'm slowly fulfilling what he's told me I was going to do. and I'm confident in my ability. And if I didn't box for a world title, I would have underachieved.
Boxers are known for being ambitious. Interesting to hear that you you want to box for that world title eventually. What's the next step for you, potentially boxing for the British title?
Yeah, I mean, it's not out of reach. Unfortunately, he's boxing in June, I think it is, end of June, defending his British title in a voluntary defence. But, yeah, I mean, he's on the radar. I'd love that fight next. I'm not sure how that's going to line up. If he's fighting in June, maybe September, will I have to wait till September? Will I fight before? Who knows? My manager knows, probably, Dave Caldwell. But, yeah, I mean, it's a possibility I could get out before, maybe not in Nottingham, and then hopefully set up a British title fight with Ryan Walsh and myself in September time. That's ideally what I'd like to happen, and then push on again after that, because I'm not setting my sights as the British title. That's not the be-all and end-all. That's just another box I've got a tick to get to where I want to get.
And if we just build on that for a second, if you were fighting for a world title one day, would you potentially want to do it at the City Ground in Nottingham? How special would that be?
100%. I think if the opportunity comes up and I keep winning and I keep improving and the fight can get made, I think there's not a bigger place we can make it. I think it's got to be at the Forest Grand. I don't think anyone else at that level will have the support that I have. I think the closest to it would be someone that's got a world title. So if it's a vacant title, it'll 100% be at the City Grand. If someone's already got the title, you know, me getting home turf would probably be unlikely. But if I box a final eliminator, I think the City Ground makes sense. If I can go on and win a world title and bring it back to Nottingham, it would 100% make sense.
Absolutely. And, you know, obviously, the same night as Nottingham Arena, your good friend Ryan, Jordan Gill, also suffered a loss. Was that hard to watch for you?
Yeah, incredibly hard to watch because, first of all, I've been there. I've been beat early in my career, and I know how tough it is. And I know it feels like your worlds came crashing down, so... And for me to see that, I didn't, you know, I've experienced that one of the highs in my careers, and then I've just experienced literally my best friends getting beat. So it was a bittersweet night for me. But I know we'll come back from that. Like I said, I've been there before, and he was there for me when I got beat. He was the only one in my hotel room that night, back in February 2014. And he stayed over, and we drove back. It was a long drive, but no, I know what he's got. I know he's got what it takes to bounce back from a loss. And he's seen me do it. He's seen what I went through. And I went through a really hard time because it took me a long time to get back to where I am today. So with Dave behind us, though, he's going to get opportunities a lot quicker than I have. So it won't take as long for him. It won't be such a long, bumpy road. So I'm expecting to bounce back and bounce back quick.
You mentioned there about how hard it is for a professional boxer to come back from a defeat. Obviously, there's a lot made of people having undefeated records, bringing out something like Anthony Joshua or Fury or Wilder or any of the big names really in the sport. Having an undefeated record is so important for them, you know. How hard is it mentally to take the fact that you've got that loss on your sheet?
I think it's all down to attitude. I've always had a really good attitude towards a lot of things in life. Things don't always go your way. You know, it's never a straight line to where you want to get to. You have to go around in circles sometimes, up and down. It's a bumpy road, but having a good attitude will always get you to your destination. And I think that's something I've always had since I was younger. I've always been an optimist. Someone said, oh, we can't do this because of this. And I said, no, we can do it this way. We can do it. And I've always found a solution. I've always found a way to get there or to get something if I wanted something. So, yeah, I think attitude's the most important part. I think with Floyd Mayweather and the undefeated record, and the way he's influenced fighters, I think it's put a bit of a stigma on getting beat, and I don't think it should. I think as long as you're not just getting beat and not learning, as long as you're learning from your mistakes and improving as a fighter, a loss isn't the end of everything, and sometimes it's a bit of a blessing as well.
Given the stuff you go through in your career to get to a certain point, do you find that puts more pressure on you boxing from a home crowd at Nottingham Arena, especially with the fans, or do you just take all of that out and just focus on the fight in hand?
You have to take it out, yeah. I think, like I said again, it's down to attitude, it's down to how you portray something as well. I seen it as they was picking me up instead of putting pressure on me, so I looked at it as in Nottingham's there, I haven't got the weight of them on my shoulders, I haven't got all that pressure. I was looking at, they was picking me up, they was lifting me, and I did feel a bit tired, a bit lethargic warming up. I didn't quite feel myself. Like, and I know people say, oh, it's because of the pressure, but it wasn't because of the pressure. My last fight, which was a month and a half before, I felt a certain way warming up, felt sharp, got in the ring, felt sharp first round. This fight, I was warming up, I was a bit tired, a bit lethargic, and once I come out first round and I heard the crowd, it did lift me up, it did pick me up. So it's how you use it. You have to use everything to your advantage, and but attitude and mindset is very important in boxing. It's probably the most important part.
Absolutely, I can imagine there's it's a bit of a chance almost as to depending how you wake up feeling on that certain fight day. So going back to your roots a bit more, obviously local lad from Nottingham, from Gedling, as you say, same place as Carl Froch, same school, same amateur boxing club. What was it that got you into boxing originally?
I think I was just always knocking around with my brother, who's a year older than me, and his friends, and they went from one fight to another, and one time it was boxing and I went with them. I was never really very good at football. My dad went around when I was a kid. So everyone at my own age group in my school was quite good at football, but their dad used to take them training in the week, used to take them to games at weekends, and I never knew why they was better than me. I just thought they was better than me, and that was that. And yeah, I went boxing with my brother and his mates, and I picked it up quite fast. I was always hanging around with older kids. So I was a year younger, and I was only really, really small for my age. So I went there and I picked up a little bit quicker than them, and for me to pick it up quicker than them, and they was older and bigger, it's quite unusual. So yeah, I progressed quite fast, and then I used to go to my friend's house, top of the road. His mum used to give us all a lift, my brother and everyone. So one day I walked up, my brother didn't go, I walked up on my own, knocked on his door, and I said, oh, and Mandy, her name was, I said, Mandy, is William going boxing? She said, oh, he's not going today, he was doing something else. I think it was Pogs or Warhammer or something. The next fight he moved to. And yeah, she said, well, I'll give you a lift if you want, because mum didn't drive at the time. So I said, yeah, brilliant. So she gave me a lift, and that went on for the next probably 12 weeks or so. And yeah, I just enjoyed it, kept getting better. Then eventually one of the coaches moved onto my street, and I started going with him, and just everything just fell into place. And yeah, I just kept getting better, and little bit of success kind of got a taste for it, and just wanted more and more and more, and it gets addictive. It's very addictive, and I ain't looked back.
So obviously you've moved down the weights a little bit, talking about super bantamweight as well, which is where your only loss came. Do you feel pretty settled at featherweight now, especially with your Commonwealth title?
Yeah, I mean, I boxed at featherweight before I boxed at super bantamweight, but I had an opportunity at super bantamweight for the British title. I dropped down to it to fight Gavin McDonald, and it really did take everything out of me. And you know, I'm not going to change it, because I learned a lot from it. I gained a lot of experience, but it wasn't the right decision to make. I think I should have stayed at featherweight and waited for another opportunity, and instead of taking it and thinking another one might not come, and in a bit of a rush, young and hot-headed. But yeah, I gained a lot of experience from it, and I wouldn't change it. But now at featherweight, I feel I'm established. I know how to make it. I've made it so many times. I've got a perfect recipe, if you like, to make the weight, and we refuel and rehydrate perfectly. I feel great on fight night. I think I'm big enough. I don't think I'm getting any bigger, though. I think I'm bang on the bottom for it. And yeah, I'm just established it now. I boxed a British title eliminator at featherweight. I won an area title at featherweight. I've won some Masters titles at featherweight, and now I've won the Commonwealth and defended it at featherweight, and it's definitely my weight.
Absolutely. How important is it if you think being comfortable with your weight then going into a fight as a boxer? But obviously there's so much to do with your movement and how hard you can punch, quite simply. So how important is that for you going into a fight? Do you feel comfortable with your weight?
Yeah, it's very important. A lot of fighters sacrifice weight. They drop down looking for a small advantage in power and strength, but to be honest, it's not much an advantage if you're killing yourself to make the weight and you're stronger for a few rounds and you can't sustain it over the distance. And I think they don't realise that, especially young fighters. They think, I want to be big at the weight, I want to be strong, I want to be powerful, and I want to bully people. But it don't work like that. You can get fighters that aren't as strong but are a lot fresher and can be consistent over the rounds, and they can get the stoppage in a different way. And you know, I can't stress enough to fighters to box at a weight they're comfortable at, that they can box out for 12 rounds. And especially amateurs, if you're making weight as an amateur, don't do it. Box at what you're walking around at, because I spent my whole career making weight, and I did all right. I boxed for Team GB, I boxed international, I had some good wins, but I'm 100% sure I could have done a lot better if I was boxing the weight I was walking around at and growing into it.
But then is that just all part of the journey, I guess? And also, you know, at the age of 30 now, I believe you are, you're still young enough to give everybody a good going, but you've also got a bit more experience than you had, as you were saying. Do you feel like you're at the perfect age now?
I'm at the perfect age, yeah. And my mentor, going back to him, what he said, he says, it's the one thing you can't borrow, buy or pretend to have is experience. And he's right. You can see everything with your own eyes and you can be told everything in the world, but you need to experience it for yourself and you need to do it and walk it and know exactly what someone said. It kind of clicks when you experience it. It's like, wow, he told me that years ago. But until you actually do it yourself, it's like anything. You can tell everyone everything. Don't jump. It's like my little girl. Don't jump in that puddle. You get your feet wet. Don't do it. 10 seconds later, she jumped in the puddle. Oh, my feet are wet and my feet are cold. But, you know, until you've done it, you have to experience it for yourself, like everything in life. But, I wouldn't swap it for anything now. The experience I've gained, and I want to use it to push on and get to where I want to get to in the sport. Hopefully, British Commonwealth, European, and box for world title. If I don't win one, I'll be surprised. But if I don't box for one, I would have underachieved.
I mean, you talk there about fatherhood. Is that something that influences you outside the ring?
My dad went around as a kid. I think I searched kind of in the boxing gym for a father figure for a long period of my life, maybe. And I've got a little girl now, and I try and be the best that I can be. I never let her down once. I don't think I ever will. But you have to keep your personal life personal, your boxing side separate. As much as everyone wants to get to know you all the time and be your best friend, but you have to put a line there. And because no matter what, sometimes with fighters, they don't do what they want to do in the sport, and they feel like they feel like they've failed. That's the word. They feel like they've failed. But it's not, it's just a sport, and your family's always there for you. Your kids will be there. If you've got them, they'll be always there. And they always look at you. They look at you as a dad, not as a sports person. So, yeah, you'd have to keep the two separate.
Absolutely. Just on a sort of final note here, touching then, you've spoken a lot about, influences throughout your childhood and your career, people giving you lifts to the boxing gym, be it Mandy or the coach on your road. How much of a role do you want that to be for you in the future after potentially you finish boxing in a few years' time?
Yeah, 100%. There's no better feeling in the world than helping someone. I try and do it week to week, day to day. I try to help as many people as I can. I've got a bit of an apprentice at the minute in Bradley Dawes. He boxed on the bill. Trying to get him up to scratch and sharing my experience with him. But like I said a minute ago, you got to walk it, you got to learn it, you got to do it yourself. You can't pass on experience, but you can pass on your knowledge. But it's up to them to listen. And 9 times out of 10, they've got to go through it themselves first. But I'm mentoring him, I'm helping him. There's some great fighters coming through in Nottingham, and I want to give them the platform to increase their profile and improve as well. So hopefully get some of them more on the bill on the next one in Nottingham. Helping people, there's no better feeling like it. And I think when I'm finished boxing, I'll definitely have a gym, possibly a professional gym, and keep cheering up fighters for the city, because it's a history rich city for boxing, and just want to keep it going.
Absolutely. Lee, thanks for talking, mate. Really appreciate it.
No problem, mate. Yeah, thanks for having me.
This is URN Sport.